Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5. 34 minutes after the hour. Hope everyone's having a good Friday morning out there. Still come Monday on the program. Dale Jackson from WVNN joins us. And Jerry Carl, running for Congress, Mobile County Commissioner, will be with us as well. And some guests to be named later, I am certain. So please, if you can, tune in for that. Very excited for my next guest. Very, very kind to come on the airwaves here, and that'll be a very interesting conversation. Former Alabama Governor Robert Bentley joins us on the line. Governor, how are you this morning?
Jeff, I'm great, and it's a beautiful day, and I'm just happy to be on with you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for coming on. Let's get into it. First up, practice, everything going okay, given COVID-19 and the circumstances. How you dealing with that?
We've done extremely well. You know, when we came back and opened up a practice, we started off, I didn't go back with my original group. We started a brand new practice, and it's grown tremendously, and we are very, very busy. We have several parts of it, several companies involved in it, aesthetics, and we do a lot of new things that we were not doing even before I was governor. So we see a lot of people. We see probably between 60 and 70 patients every day.
But with the pandemic, I assume you got different protocols in place. Obviously, people wearing masks and things like that you got to deal with.
We do. And we actually started that about 2 weeks before anybody else did. We don't let anybody in our waiting room, and certainly everybody wears masks. We wear masks, and we protect ourselves, and we protect our patients very well. And we've really had no problems within our practice. Now, we've had some patients that have died, but they were they caught that, you know, obviously somewhere else.
It's a serious situation. You know, and I'm not asking you to second-guess Governor Ivey or anything, but dealing with this, do you feel like the right measures are in place to deal with it, just given your medical background and what you know?
Well, let me say this. It's called novel coronavirus for a reason. It's because we've never had anything like this before. And, everyone has done it a little differently. I think our state has done it fairly well, and I'm not critical of them. I may have done some things differently. I probably would have declared a state of emergency that allowed the governor to be in charge of everything rather than the state health officer, but I certainly would have worked very closely with the state health officer, and I think they've done a good job. I think that the mask ordinance now has helped some. I probably would have started that in April, but here again, I think that things have done about as well as possible. Now, I will say this. I think the state health officer does not understand businesses. I think that the closing of the businesses has hurt everyone, even the medical community. And when you look at it, hospitals have had to lay people off simply because they said that they could not do things that were not essential. The types of things that we do in the office, in the hospital, that are elective, they stopped those. And they shouldn't have done that, because that hurt the hospitals and it hurt practices.
Well, the arrangement with the state health officer is a curious one. He has a lot of power, but he's not democratically elected, or should he be, but he's not confirmed by the legislature or anything of that nature. Were you aware of that situation when you were governor, that we had this individual that had all these powers in a major health event?
I was, but let me say this. I would have declared a state of emergency based on natural disasters, which this is also a natural disaster. That's how I would have gotten around it. I know that if it is a health-related issue, the way the powers and the bill are written, the state health officer does have a tremendous amount of power. That could have been changed by the governor. They could have declared a different type of an emergency, and that's what I would have done.
Joined by former Alabama Governor Robert Bentley here on the program. Governor, are you keeping up with the politics these days? It's a much different time, it seems like, even since you were last in Montgomery, that things are you know, maybe a little more chaotic. What do you make of the political environment right now?
Well, it is more chaotic, and obviously everybody's divided, and but you know, they've always been. It just seems like it every time we get to this point, it seems like it's worse than it was the time before. I will say this, you know, in the state, obviously we have our political issues. Right now we have certainly a Senate race. And I will say this, I think since 2017, I think the mistake that was made was the moving of the election, because the moving of the election elected a Democrat senator. And that has hurt us on a Republican side. It has hurt us nationally, because we've had to worry about whether or not we had enough Republicans dealing with Kavanaugh, and now dealing with the next one that will be appointed as far as the Supreme Court.
Yeah, and you're just that one vote shy, but you know, that was such a strange circumstance. You know, people, did you expect when you appointed Luther Strange that there would be that much pushback?
Well, you know, I'm not surprised about that, and you know, it was fine with me. I did it in a way. That's the reason we put it in 2018 was for three reasons. Number one was it was going to cost the state $16 million for the election, which it did. Number two was that we had some federal laws related to our overseas people that might have been. We might have gone against those, and so we wanted to make sure we gave it long enough to have the election so that we could get balance to the overseas people. But the main reason that we put it off was because we knew that a special election would draw 15% of the population, and that was the best chance for a Democrat to win, and that's exactly what happened.
It really was a lining of the planet, sort of, for this once in a, well, maybe not lifetime event, but once in a generation event, where the low turnout and then a very energized Democratic base, particularly after Donald Trump is elected, really made that happen. But that doesn't seem like it will happen again, at least not this time around, with this election coming up.
Oh no, I think in a general election it would not have happened before. If we had waited till 2018, then Republicans who wanted to run against Luther Strange, they could have gotten their campaigns ready. They could have raised money. There was not a single person at that time that said they were going to run, except Luther Strange. You know, they would have had time to get everything ready to run, and we'd have had some good candidates, I think, to run against Luther Strange in 2018.
But would you have been giving Luther Strange a head start by allowing him to sit in that spot? Because when you're a U.S. senator, you're able to fundraise and do a lot of things maybe somebody that's running against an incumbent could not do.
Well, I think that he had positives and he had negatives. I think he had negatives because, honestly, he was not necessarily a real good campaigner. He had had trouble in past elections. He was qualified. He was the only one that said they were going to run, and he was qualified. But I think there were other candidates that would have done well. I think they would have used the fact that he had been appointed against him, just like they did. So I think that a Republican would have won that race in 2018.
Governor, something else that's really popped up, and I know you dealt with this during your two terms, the prison issue, and the approach being taken now, particularly as the Department of Justice is really kind of breathing down the state's necks. But what are your thoughts about that? This is something the state has dealt with for decades, it seems. Do you think this approach, by going at it alone and building three new facilities, maybe that's a start and gets things in a good direction?
Well, I think it's the only way you can do it. And we had that put in place in 2016 and 2017. We were ready to build with private entities. We were going to let them build the prisons, and we were going to lease them from the people that built them for 30 years, and then we were going to get the prisons for a dollar. That's how we had it laid out, and we had people lined up that we were going to work with. The people who were against that was, well, let me say this. We had four men's prisons that we were going to build, and we had one female prison that we were going to build for $800 million. And the savings that we're having to pay right now to keep these old prisons up was going to pay for the bond issues if we did it by a bond issue, or if we did it the other way and let people, you know, lease them, we would have enough money to lease the prisons from them. So I think that's the only way you can do it. Now, the Republicans came to me when we had our plan and we had it laid out. They came to me and they said, we want that to be part of our program. We will pass it. I said, okay, I'll give you a chance. Well, you know what happened. You give the legislature a chance and they still don't get anything done. This is something that has to be done. It needs to be done. You know, we don't want the federal government to come in and take over our prison system.
But this going at it alone seems to be the only approach. I guess the hang-up is nobody wants, or there are a handful of well-placed members of the legislature that don't want their prisons taken away from them because they are such a economic engine in their local communities.
Well, and I understand that. I do understand that, but I think that you have to say what's best for the entire state of Alabama and for the people of the state. So I think what's best for them is, now if the legislature would do it, you know, then I think the legislature should do it. But it's obvious that they're not going to do it. And I learned that after trying to do it for 2 years. They're not going to do it. And so sometimes you just have to move ahead and get things done. Now, the reason I don't particularly like the way they're doing it now is they're only building three prisons. They're not building a female prison, which I think is very important to replace Tutwiler. And the cost is going to be greater than it was when we put it together in 2016 and 2017.
It's just a matter of getting all those ducks in a row, I suppose. But new legislature?
One of the problems was this. We were going to do design build, and so that meant that we were going to get an architect to design a very good prison, and we were going to build four just like it. And then that would cut out the architects and all the others, and it would save us 18% by doing that. Now, I don't think they're doing that now.
No, they're all specific for each of these three locations. But new legislature, I mean, would you have thought, well, maybe there's some hope with a different cast of characters at the State House?
I served in the legislature for two terms, and we always have hope. We always hope that things will be better, and I know that they have some new guys in there, and I know that they're very capable, and they care about their area and care about the state, and I'm sure they'll do well, and I hope that they do. But I used to tell the guys when they'd come in the legislature, I said, y'all enjoy the day you're sworn in, because that's going to be the high point of your career. And so they laughed, but it probably is. And what happens is, in the legislature, special interests just congregate around them all the time, and they have too much influence on legislators, truly too much influence. That's one of the reasons I didn't let lobbyists in my office as governor. They would occasionally come in if they came with somebody, but I didn't let them present things to me in my office because I didn't want lobbyists running government.
Governor, just a few more moments remaining. Let's move it out. National politics, November 3rd right around the corner, Trump at the top of the ballot, Coach Tuberville, the Republican nominee. What's your sense of what's going to happen November 3rd?
Well, Coach Tuberville, I think, will win. I think a Republican will win. I'll be surprised if he does not. I truly believe that Trump is going to win. I know I look at the polls and they say 7%, but polls are coming from. You don't know where that's being measured. And what you've got to do is you have to look at the individual states. He may lose the popular vote with California and New York, but I still think that he will get enough of electoral votes to win. I truly do, just like he did last time. I think the thing that is going to help him, and I, unfortunately, this is going to help because I hate to see it for our country, are all the riots and all the things that are going across this country. You look back at several times over the years, and I'm old enough to remember that, 68 and times like that, when there were a lot of rioting around the country, and that usually helped the other party.
Yeah, it's like the late 60s and early 70s all over again, and I think there's a there'll be a story to tell about that. Finally, are you set with dermatology, your dermatology practice? Any other political ambitions, or have you moved on from that?
Oh, I don't know. I you know, gosh, I love the people so much. I tell you one thing that we're doing, we're going to try to do in the state. I'm part of a 501c3 that has been formed. We're going to try to do some free medical clinics around the state. We're getting that set up, and we've been doing free skin cancer screening clinics, which is very important in Alabama because a lot of people have skin cancer. And so we're doing that. We've been doing that ever since we've been back, and we want to do that all over the state, and especially rural areas that have never seen a dermatologist. And so we're going to start doing that, and so that's what I'm going to try to concentrate on right now.
And tangentially related, before I let you go to that, the discussion about maybe expanding Medicaid, you have a shortage of rural hospitals. Is there an approach to that, or is it really the market just doesn't lend itself for a hospital in Georgiana or wherever it may be where they've seen their hospital closed?
Well, let me tell you the problem. There was not. We had 13 of us governors who fought the Affordable Care Act, and we fought it to the very end. And then what happened was Congress, and they ran. All of the Republicans ran. They said we're going to run on repeal and replace. Okay, they could have repealed it. The unfortunate thing is nobody had anything to replace it with. So they weren't prepared, and I blame that on the Republicans in Congress. They should have had a plan ready to replace it. Well, now it's the law of the land, and now people don't want us to fool with their medicine and their health insurance. And so now I think that is not at the top of the list of people is to have the replacement of that. So where do we go? Well, one thing is we need to try to improve the healthcare system in this country. One of the things that we need to do is we certainly need to have more primary care physicians, and they need to be paid for what they do. When I went back in practice this time, I realized how difficult it is for someone to start a new practice, especially if you're a family practitioner. So we need to also make sure that hospitals, not only rural hospitals, but Children's and University of Alabama and the South Alabama, all of these hospitals, they're seeing many patients. In fact, there are 330,000 people in the state of Alabama that are the working poor that don't have insurance. Well, they have to be seen. By law, they have to see them, so they have to eat that cost. That runs the cost of medicine up for everyone else. Now, one of the reasons I was against the expansion of Medicaid is because we could not afford it at that time. But one of the things that I did, with the help of Julie McGee, who was my revenue commissioner, we started taxing Internet sales. And Internet sales, 75% of that went to the use tax program of the state, which went to the general fund. Now, so many people are buying things online that we're making a tremendous amount of money in the general fund off of what we put in place in 2017. So that the people of Alabama finally ought to have the right to vote on a clean lottery. And if we do that, we could take that money and pay for the Medicaid expansion. That would help health care all across the state. It would give us rural doctors. It would give all doctors a raise if they take Medicaid so that they can make a living in their practices, and it would help hospitals. So, yes, I think there's a chance for it.
Governor, we got to leave it there. We're out of time. But thank you so much for coming on this morning. I really do appreciate it.
Jeff, I've enjoyed it, and thank you for calling me, and maybe you'll call me again soon.
Yeah, we'll do it again real soon. That was former Alabama Governor Robert Bentley on the program. We got to get one more break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.